Thank you, worship team. Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. Welcome to our service. It's great to have you worshiping with us. If you're here for the first time, I especially just want to welcome you as our guest this morning. We're glad that you're worshiping with us. There is a connection card in the pocket in the seat in front of you. If you're here for the first time, or maybe you've been here a few times checking this out and haven't filled one of those out, we'd love to just connect a name with a face so you can fill that out and drop it in the offering box at the back of the sanctuary. But we are glad that you're here. I want to just jump in real quick and just say thanks to some of you who served this week, to those of you who went to Braddock Glen, our worship team who went to Braddock Glen, those of you who just came not because you were particularly good at singing or anything like that, but you just came to socialize with the residents there at Braddock Glen while our team led in some Christmas music. Thank you for serving. Thanks for bringing your kids and just for being a part of that great ministry. And then for those of you who were at the Lamb Center yesterday or here cooking for the Lamb Center and then serving at the Lamb Center, we had a huge crowd there. It's not unusual this time of year to have a big crowd of folks there, but our team did a great job, I hear, of doing a special Christmas meal for the folks at the Lamb Center. So thanks again for serving there. So grab your notes. We are in our Christmas series. This morning we're going to wrap it up on Christmas Eve. So if you're in town, I hope you'll be here for one of those services. But what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks is just kind of going behind the scenes a little bit of the Christmas story, just kind of going backstage, because for over 2,000 years now, the birth of Jesus has been acted out on stage. We've put it to music, we've put it to drama, we've put it to costumes and all of these things. And most of the time when we do that, when we see that, it's done in such a way that it's just really neat and tidy and kind of safe and sanitized and all of that. So we've just been kind of going behind the scenes and looking at the characters with some fresh eyes and in a new way a little bit. So here's just a quick recap of what we've discovered so far. We started with Joseph, right? And we said that Joseph was what? Anybody remember? It's on the screen, right? Easy enough. He was afraid. And so we said that Joseph was afraid. He had lots to be afraid of. You know, his world had been turned upside down. He's engaged. He's to be married. And then he finds out that Mary is pregnant and all of this stuff comes up. And then he finds out that he's going to, you know, be kind of the earthly father of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. So lots of stuff to be afraid about there. And then we said Mary was uncomfortable, right? That she was socially uncomfortable with everything that was going on, with the story that she was having to live out, physically uncomfortable as her and Joseph traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem, you know, obviously pregnant, 70 miles, gets there. There's no room anywhere for them to stay. She ends up giving birth basically in a barn. So uncomfortable might be an understatement for Mary. And then we went behind the scenes with the innkeeper last week, and we said the innkeeper's not really this bad guy that we portray him as. The innkeeper was just occupied, that it was just a busy time in the town, lots of people there, things were full, there was just no room, and it was what it was. And then we talked about the first visitors. The first visitors, if you look in the book of Matthew, because the story's only told by Matthew and Luke, and Matthew tells us that the first visitors were the wise men, and Luke tells us that the first visitors were the shepherds. But we said that both of these had the same reaction when they encountered Jesus on that first Christmas. They were awestruck. That then when they experienced Jesus, when they were in his presence, that they were just blown away. They were amazed. They were awestruck. And so this last week, as I kind of looked behind the scenes in my own life, because that's what I invited us all to do, you know, I kind of went behind the scenes just to see, you know, what of these feelings might I be experiencing this Christmas season as we move towards Christmas? And as I looked at that, I realized, you know, I'm pretty occupied in my life. I've got a lot of stuff going on. I'm occupied with the normal to-do stuff. You know, I've got some new grief in my life that I didn't have a couple of years ago. And so I think occupied would probably characterize me this Christmas. But what about you? Because I gave you a little bit of homework last week. It wasn't a lot, but I invited you to go behind the scenes in your own life. And I said, first of all, kind of get to the what, right? You know, what is it that you feel when you think of Jesus? What is it this season as you go into Christmas that you feel as you experience Jesus this Christmas season? And then I said, let's dig a little bit deeper and go beyond the what to the why. You know, why do you feel that way? What's causing those feelings maybe? And then I just suggested that we all just kind of go back and just reread the Christmas story in Matthew or in Luke or both. It's a short story, just to kind of see if there's some new perspective that we might get. Now, I know I shouldn't ask this, but I really, really want to know, okay? So by show of hands, how many of you did the homework this week? Wow, only one. We had two in the early service, okay? Let me just ask a little bit easier question. How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand and keep your hands up. If you were here last week, keep your hands up. Okay, keep your hands up if you did the homework. See, I was at least trying to get some of you to lie to me, you know, to make me just feel a little bit better or something like that. I mean, guys, was it too tough? Was that the problem? Is this too hard to do? I don't know. I did ask you to come back, right? So you did that. So you did one out of four. Not bad. But here's what I know to be true about you. One, you're complete slackers when it comes to homework, right? Probably the same. Yeah, Mark said he was occupied. You're probably the same people who give your kids a hard time when they don't do their homework, right? But that's another sermon for another time. But no, seriously, here's what I know about you, because I think this is true of all of us. When it comes to Jesus in our lives, right? When it comes to experiencing Jesus, we don't want to live in fear, do we? And you don't want to be afraid to align your life with God's ways and to follow Jesus fully. We don't want that. When it comes to Jesus, you don't want to be occupied. You don't want to be so busy and things to be so full that you miss out on being a follower of Jesus. That when it comes to Jesus, you don't want to live a life that would be characterized as uncomfortable. What I know to be true about you is that if you and I were to just go out and have a cup of coffee today and just have a conversation, the majority of us, not all of us, but the majority of us would probably say something like, you know, I want my life to be centered around Jesus, where the presence of God kind of invades my life and actually directs my life in some way. That's probably what most of us would say. Now, if that's true, then my question is, why don't most of us live that way? Why is it that most of us, when it comes to Jesus, in some way we're afraid to follow him, or he makes us uncomfortable, or we are really, really occupied? And here's what I believe it is. I believe that one of the reasons that we don't live the Christ-following lives that we want to live is because we rely on our own power. We rely on our own power for living, and we don't rely on God's power. I'm convinced that that's it, because I know it firsthand for my own life. So many of us, I think we just settle to live life on our own power, that we just don't trust God's power, and we miss out on that in our lives. For those of you who did do the homework, all one of you, and you read the Christmas story again, or maybe you just remember, who is somebody, a character that we haven't talked about yet that we might talk about today? Any guesses? Oh, we're going to talk about Herod, because, I mean, why wouldn't we talk about Herod, right, in the Christmas story? Now, here's why you don't see Herod on the stages of the reenactments of the Christmas story. Here's why we don't have a Herod in our living nativity tonight, right? Because Herod is not a warm and fuzzy kind of a character, is he? I mean, he might have been called Herod the Great. He really should have been called Herod the Psycho, because that's what he is. But there's something in Herod that I want us to see. Last week, when we talked about these feelings, we talked about being afraid and being uncomfortable and being occupied. All three of those feelings personified Herod. I want you to see not only that, though, but I also want you to see how Herod then relies, when he experiences those three things, he relies on himself. He relies on his own power. So here's what Matthew tells us about Herod. He says, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. Now, we don't have time for a full-blown history lesson on Herod, but what you need to know about Herod is Herod actually did some great things. I mean, Herod was an incredible builder. He rebuilt Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. So Herod did some incredible, incredible things. But the reality was, Herod was ruthless. I mean, he was just a ruthless leader. I would describe Herod as evil. His history is filled, if you read about him, it's filled with lies and murder and deception and adultery and treachery. And that was just with the people that he liked and loved, okay? So Herod, he's a guy that had some real issues. And Matthew continues, he says, about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, and here was their question, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. And Herod was deeply disturbed by their question. Now, let me pause right there and tell you why Herod was deeply disturbed. Herod was deeply disturbed because he was deeply afraid. And he was afraid because Herod was the king of the Jews. Now, I don't have a lot of kingly experience myself, but I have watched enough Game of Thrones to know that if you're the king and there's another king that's born in your own backyard, and especially if you're an insecure kind of a guy, that's going to cause some fear to pop up in your life. And that's what Herod had, was fear. And so here's what Herod does. He called a meeting of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he asked them this question: where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born? So you see, Herod, he's not really a God-following person. He's not really a religious-type guy. Some scholars think that his family may have converted to Judaism. They're not really sure. But he didn't really follow it and track with it. In fact, he kind of went against it a lot. But he was smart enough to know that the Jewish people, the Jewish scholars, believed that there was going to be a Messiah that came along, that it had been prophesied that there would be a Messiah pop up. And people thought that the Messiah that would come, they weren't expecting them to come and be like Jesus was. They thought he was going to be some kind of a political leader, a political ruler, maybe a military type guy, that the Messiah would actually come in the spirit of Joshua. In fact, the Hebrew word Jesus is actually Joshua. And so he would be this leader in that spirit, a mighty warrior that would take over. So Herod is kind of, he's feeling the heat here. You know, to say he's uncomfortable is an understatement. And so Matthew continues. And then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come and see him. And at this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. And then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. When you find him, come back and tell me so I can go and worship him too. And when you go behind the scenes with Herod, what you see is Herod was not only afraid and not only uncomfortable, but he was occupied. In fact, he was so occupied with getting rid of Jesus that he was obsessed by it. That's all he was thinking about is how do I find this Jesus? How do I find this baby that's been born, this potential king, and so that they don't steal my throne and steal my crown? And if you grew up in Sunday school, you know what happens next, right? The wise men get this message from God that they shouldn't go back to Herod, that he, you know, has evil plans, and so they realize what was going on, and so they basically leave town, kind of the back way sort of a thing. And so here's what happened. Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, because the wise men had told him that the star first appeared to them about 2 years earlier. So, if anybody had power, it was Herod. I mean, if anybody knew what power felt like, it was Herod. I mean, he had incredible power. But here's the thing that I want us to get. It was just human power. I mean, it was massive doses of human power. I mean, human power enough to kill thousands and thousands of innocent babies, but it was just human power. And something that we need to remember and understand is that human power always wears out. That human power is limited, and it will always run out. And here's what Matthew tells us. I love these two words from Matthew. He says, Herod died. Right? Herod died. And here's the point. His reign came to an end. He didn't last. There was nothing more of him. His human power was met by the ultimate power of reality, and that's death. And I mean, Herod lived with all of these negative feelings. He was afraid. He was uncomfortable. He was occupied, but he relied on his own power when it came to Jesus. When you go behind the scenes of Herod, what you see is somebody who just missed it. I mean, he missed it all. I mean, when Jesus came, Herod thought that Jesus came to threaten him, when Jesus actually came to save him. And he thought that Jesus came to make his life uncomfortable, when Jesus actually came, just like he did for all of us, to bring him comfort. He thought that Jesus was there to steal his power, but Jesus was actually there to give him ultimate power, real power. I mean, can you imagine what kind of a king Herod would have been if he had embraced God, if he had embraced Jesus? But instead, Herod, he as great as he was, he basically becomes a footnote in the story of Jesus. I mean, the only reason a lot of us even know anything about King Herod is because of the Christmas story. Now, Christmas is all about power. I mean, when we celebrate it this month, it's about God's power in action, God's power working in this world. It was God's power that invaded humanity with the divine. I mean, the birth of Jesus. It was God's power that changed the natural laws, a virgin birth. It was God's power that foiled the plan of Herod, this powerful, powerful leader. It was God's power that orchestrated the prophecies from the Old Testament to be fulfilled so he could fulfill his promise of a Messiah. It was God's power that personally communicated all of this to his people and guided the wise men and guided the shepherds and ultimately guided Mary and Joseph to safety when they needed. Christmas is all about God's power, God's presence. The God-man, Jesus, allows us to have power so that we can live with peace in our life. In fact, that's really the summary of what the Christmas story is all about, that the presence of God reveals the power of God, and it brings us the peace of God in our lives, that the presence of God reveals the power of God, and when we recognize and embrace the power of God, it has the potential to bring the peace of God into our lives. I love what Psalm 68 says. It says, God gives power and strength to his people. And that's true, and that's a promise that we all can and should claim. And what it means is that I can count on God's power when I'm afraid. I can count on God's power when I'm uncomfortable. I can count on God's power when I'm occupied. I can count on God's power and you could put anything in that blank and it would be true. I can count on God's power when I'm lonely, when I've been hurt, when I'm questioning, when I have doubts, when I feel betrayed, when I'm frustrated, when I'm angry, when I'm anxious, with all of this stuff. Now, let me give you, as we shift gears a little bit, a really, really important spiritual truth that I want you to walk away with. And it may seem kind of simple at first, but I think if you think about this one for a little bit, you'll see really how profound this is. In fact, when you hear me say this, you will probably recognize how profound this is. You will probably go something like, whoa. I mean, whatever we're paying this guy, it's probably not enough, okay? That's how profound this is. But here it is. Things work best when they're plugged in, right? I mean, that's it, isn't that? That's pretty profound, right? It's deep. It's a little deeper than you think, though. It's like a toaster, right? It's like a toaster. If it doesn't work if it's not plugged in, does it? It's got to have a power source. I mean, I don't care how pretty your toaster is. I don't care how much your toaster cost. I don't care if your toaster spent its entire life in the church kitchen, okay? If it's not plugged in, you're not getting toast. All you're getting is bread. So maybe that's what we need to do this Christmas season. Maybe we need to connect to God's power. Maybe you need to connect to God's power. Maybe in a new way. Maybe in a different way. And plug into that power. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're going, hey, David, I'm plugged into God's power. I've been connected to it for a long, long time. I'd say, great. Here's what I'd say to you. Stay connected. Stay connected so that you can continue to live by God's power. Let's go back to the Christmas story. Let's go back to Herod. You've got Herod. You've got this very, very powerful, powerful man by human standards, by the world standards. And juxtaposed, you've got Joseph. I mean, by the world standards, not really a powerful guy. I mean, just an ordinary kind of a guy. But what's the difference? The difference is that Herod relied on his own power, where Joseph relied on the power of God. Over in Matthew chapter 2, you can read this on your own when you get a chance, but Matthew tells us that three times God asked Joseph to do something. And even though Joseph was scared to do it, he did it anyway. That one, he said, I want you to marry your fiance, the pregnant virgin. And I know you don't understand that and you don't know what's going on. And I just want you to trust me. And so Joseph did. And then the second time he says, Joseph, I want you to uproot your family. I want you to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt, leave Bethlehem because Herod is trying to kill Jesus. And Joseph doesn't understand that, but he goes anyway to this land that he's never been to, that foreign country, and he leaves. And then after Herod dies, he's told to go back to Israel. So he goes back, even though he's scared to do that. Because Herod the Great is gone, but now his son is ruling, Herod the Not So Great, right? And Matthew tells us that Joseph was afraid of that. But even though he's afraid, and even though he doesn't know how God's gonna show up, he's stepping out each time in faith. God's power meets him time and time again. And that's the difference between Herod and Joseph. So the Christmas story, when you go behind the scenes, it looks a lot different sometimes than what's portrayed on stage, right? And here's my guess, and it's just a guess, but when you go behind the scenes of our own lives, things are a lot different there too, aren't they? And a lot different than what most people see, because we've been really good through the years at creating drama in our lives, haven't we? And we become kind of masters of pageantry and costume making. And we become great at wearing masks so that everyone kind of sees what we want them to see and maybe thinks that everything is okay. But behind the scenes, a lot of us, if we're honest, we're just scared about things. And a lot of us are uncomfortable with our lives the way that they are. And some of us, well, if we're honest, we're just really occupied. That we don't have really room for Jesus anymore. God just becomes one more thing on our to-do list. The bottom line with all of these things is that we're running on our own power. And you want your life to be different, to be what God created it to be and designed you to be, then you've got to plug in to the ultimate source. You've got to stay connected. You've got to take some steps of faith like Joseph did. Today we're gonna celebrate communion together. And communion is a symbol, and it may be the best symbol that we have to remind us of the power of God. And to remind us not just of God's power, but to remind us of God's love. That he sent his only son, this baby that we celebrate this Christmas, that God sent him into the world so that we could know what God was like, so that we could experience that. I mean, that's what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. So our worship team, I'm going to ask them to come and lead us in this song. And this is a time as we sing this song together, it's a time for us to prepare for communion. It's a time to reflect on what we're celebrating this Christmas season. It's a time to remember what Jesus ultimately did and the sacrifice that God ultimately gave us. And it's a time to remember, embrace, and if we need to claim the power of God in our lives. So let's stand and sing. And as we do, use this time to prepare your hearts to celebrate communion this morning.